fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here, our third hour on Wednesday, the 30th day of November. This is the last day of November. How about that? The prepper tip today is to check your car kit. It's going to be different things for different places. If you're in northern Minnesota on the Canadian border, it's going to be one thing. South central Missouri, something else. Make sure you've got what you need, that things weren't taken out, borrowed, and not replaced. Make sure that everything's there that you need to survive a few hours in a disabled car in the dead of winter. That's what a winter car kit is all about. We have patient Wayne in the green room, my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff began a quest more than 36 years ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the international commerce conspiracy. His website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. His book's for sale at amazon.com. And good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Good to have you with us. We may have a caller left over from the last hour. I'm not sure. Samuel from California. Is Samuel there? Okay, Samuel's gone. Never mind. Well, during our visit yesterday, we really didn't talk that much about what's going on with China. I think two things, and I want your feedback on this, Jeff. Apparently, the news of the 10-plus people, it may have been 40 or more, that were burned and suffocated to death in the apartment building with the doors and windows welded shut, along with the video coming out of the World Cup soccer match where tens of thousands of men and women are not wearing masks, are the two things that have motivated the Chinese to rise up in rebellion. Is that accurate, sir?
Well, those seem to be contributing factors. Certainly the fire seemed to have triggered that, and combined with the outrageous, you know, lying and excuses made by the local government in West China, it just enraged the people. And this feeling of rage towards the government has spread throughout China to all the major cities, as we can tell from the video feeds being smuggled out and that are getting out. So much so, I mean, I've heard reports, I didn't see the feed, of government officials being dragged out of their offices by mobs in northern China, I think in Inner Mongolia. The crowds are, you know, mostly just protesting. They've got this thing where they hold up a blank piece of paper,
right?
Because they're not allowed to, you know, all the slogans against the government are illegal. So they've turned the slogan of a white sheet of paper or a blank sign as the symbol for everything they can't say that they want to say. And it turns out to be very powerful. And right now the local police are overwhelmed. The People's Armed Police are being careful so far, unless, you know, we're probably not seeing all that's happening there. There could be real violence going on. They would not want one part of the country to know they're acting against another part. So it's, I mean, the Chinese government at this point has to play a perfect game, because this is where regimes like this fall. It's when the country as a whole, when all the people lose their fear of the government and have then encourage each other to all stand up at the same time and drive the government out of power. And this like happened in Iran in 1979. It happened in France during the French Revolution. It happened in Hungary in 1956. It happened in Russia in 1917 and almost happened in 1905. And in 1917, I'm not talking about the Bolshevik coup of the October Revolution. I'm talking about the February Revolution, where the Russian people just stood up against the Tsar and said no. And the Tsar had to abdicate. because the key moment always is when, both in the Hungarian Revolution and the February 1917 Revolution in Russia, is when the police, the armed police, and the army turn their guns on the government and join the people. That's when it really goes against the government. Because once you reach that stage, the government is helpless.
Jeff, is there an attempt by the Chinese government to make it illegal to hold up a blank piece of paper? Is that happening also?
I did hear yesterday that they have made some kind of proclamation that they don't want people holding up the blank signs either. So, yeah.
Do they know, or do they care that they make themselves look like fools in front of the whole world?
Well, that's the problem with this kind of process, is that once people's... there's sort of a snowball effect can happen, because when the government comes out with rules or edicts or explanations that can't be enforced and sound ridiculous and the people can actually stick it to the government, it merely underscores the government's helplessness. And in 1905, the Tsarist regime got out from under it with a combination of use of force and the Tsar basically conceding and saying, all right, we'll have a Duma, we'll have elections, and I'll share a little bit of my power. Excuse me. frog in my throat there. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Wasn't the Tsar planning to industrialize Russia and build railroads and factories and bring Russia was mostly an agrarian country with no industrial base of any consequence, wasn't it?
Well, Russia was later to industrialize. basically, the French, after the Franco-Prussian War, the French were very angry at Germany. In the Franco-Prussian War in 1870-71, that time frame, France was defeated by Germany, and the Germans united in a confederation. Otto von Bismarck created Germany as an empire. And the part of the French idea of revenge was to build a railroad system in Russia. And the reason why they wanted to do this was because then the Russian armies that were so vast, so outnumbered the Germans, could mobilize faster using railroads to threaten Germany from behind. And Bismarck's wisdom was that Germany must always be united with Russia. And it was his break with Kaiser Wilhelm II, who wanted to ally with Austria-Hungary instead of Russia, because they were German. The leadership of the Austro-Hungarian Empire was German. The monarchy in Austria was German. So that basically angered Russia, because Austria-Hungary and Russia were competing over the Balkans in those days. And so this created the dynamic that led to this dream that the French had of bringing Russia to war with Germany at the same time France would go to war, and Germany would be crushed in a two-front war, which is what happened in World War One. And so this was one of the reasons, one of the impetus for French investment in Russian railroads. And so Russia was developed partly for that reason in its railroads, but Russia was always developing just behind the other countries in Europe because literacy was lower in Russia. The serfs, you know, weren't freed until around the time of our Civil War. So the liberalization of Russia was a much slower process than in other European countries. It was a much more reactionary government, and that will always slow down development.
Amazing. Well, all the nuances of this, and we're still living the consequences of events that took place more than a century ago, aren't we, sir?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we definitely are. I mean, Russia, the deformation of Russia that comes out of that period, the fact that Russia was always moving from behind, and then having the Bolshevik Revolution, which actually was a godsend for the Germans. Because if the Tsarist regime had remained, Russia would have, you know, if the Tsar being able to moderate, you know, they had a very, the Tsars, they wanted to be absolute rulers. They did not like the concessions from the 1905 revolution. They didn't like. It didn't set well with Nicholas II. And, but being compelled to do it, he was reasonable enough to allow certain reforms. And he had a very brilliant prime minister who was assassinated, sadly, who had brought brilliant reforms. And if that pattern had continued, Russia would be the most economically advanced, maybe the most scientifically advanced country. And World War II probably would not have happened, because Stalin and the Soviet Union played a big role in advancing Hitler. Because remember, it was World War II only started when Hitler and Stalin got together. So, yeah, all of history would have been different if that guy had not fallen. But now we have these really extreme, you know, China's a Marxist-Leninist dictatorship, which has liberalized its economy. And there's a complicated reasons for why they did it, but they also took advantage of this trade with the United States. They pretended they were split off from Russia and the communist bloc, and then Russia had its reforms and ended up, you know, the Soviet Union breaking up. And of course, this in Moscow, they're trying to put the Soviet Union together. They are still the core elite of the Soviet system, or of the former Soviet system, and they control the Russian Federation. As Putin himself has said, that Russia is the rump state, the continuation of the Soviet Union. He said that publicly. And that their alliance with China and North Korea and Cuba and Venezuela is not just a fluke. They underneath the skin, Putin is not a Christian. He's not a conservative. He's a Marxist. And I was first told this by someone from Leningrad, from his town, who, when he became president, said that man is a true believing Marxist. That was Stan Lunev who told me that more than 20 years ago when Putin first came to power. So what we're seeing unfolding is maybe the real last gasps of Marxism-Leninism, because to get the economic wherewithal and the technology, both Russia and China allowed degrees of liberalization that now have led to the unraveling first of the Soviet Empire in part, and the unraveling now maybe possibly of China. We'll see what happens. But they have tremendous nuclear arsenals. They wish us ill. And probably what we're seeing with this virus, the outbreak of COVID, and then the vaccines, we know Pfizer vaccine was made in China now. Could be an attack vector. We don't know. But it's it's very scary what these countries are willing to do to us, how much their leaders hate us. And if they fall, it's a huge thing for our survival.
It is, absolutely. And any prognostication whether they will or will not fall?
Well, it you know, like I said before, it depends on whether you see the People's Armed Police less likely or the army joining the demonstrations, turning their guns on the government. Once you see that, then it's at very least it's a civil war. At the very most, you will the government may just fall, depending on how rapidly it spreads. I mean, these things can take, like the French Revolution, it was 1789 it started, in 1793 is when they, I believe, decapitated the king. So this can be a process that can take time. Given the size of China, right. However, I think that it can't go on as long as the French Revolution, although I could be wrong. Really, Xi Jinping has not proved to be very adept. He seems to be following a blueprint given to him by others, by his predecessors, I think by Mao and Deng. And the problem is he may not have the deeper understanding or experience to carry it forward. And maybe the plan that they had was too unrealistic. You know, trying to destroy the United States by playing these games with the world economy and playing games with the supply chain, infiltrating all these countries and tying your economy to those countries, and then creating your own country as a giant is sort of the factory of the world, where your own people get a little bit of prosperity they'd never tasted before. And now because you want to go to war, you're taking that away from them. And you're doing these COVID lockdowns because they're not doing it for COVID, I do not believe. And so this is backfiring on them, just as the war in Ukraine is backfiring on Moscow. And, you know, this is good news for us. You know, you hear all these people saying, we got to let Ukraine fall and stuff. You don't understand. If these people can connect one dot after another in Russia and China, if they can put their plan together, if their plan works, we might all be dead. Because they're not building nuclear weapons there just so they can look pretty. They actually are building them to use them on us. And that's what people just don't get in the West. You know, this book, we've talked about it before, Unrestricted Warfare, written by the two Chinese colonels. Nobody in the West is strategic-minded enough to say, why would this book be published so you and I can read it? But last year, I went through the book carefully, and I'll tell you, the book itself is a deception, Unrestricted Warfare. Of course they're going to do Unrestricted Warfare. The communists always do. But throughout the book, there are these little things like, oh, nuclear weapons are obsolete. Nuclear weapons are no good. Nuclear weapons don't work. We can never have a nuclear war. This is all throughout this book. This is why we're going to do these other kind of things. Well, meanwhile, China's doing what? It's building up its nuclear arsenal more rapidly than we can even keep track of. So if nuclear war is obsolete, nuclear weapons are no good, why are they building so many? Why are they building road mobile nuclear missiles? And missiles to hit the United States. Why did they just extend the range on their submarine launch ballistic missiles so they can hit the East Coast, U.S. East Coast, from a submarine in the Pacific? Why are they doing that? Well, the answer is simple. That book is a deception. And what I've discovered that Americans just refuse to accept is that, you know, I spent 2 years in the sub-basement of the UCI library reading through the books. It's like, well, what is the effect of radiation? Is the world really irradiated and all life dies if you have a nuclear attack? And it's just not true. If you use the nuclear weapons in the right way, you don't destroy the environment. And people just refuse to accept this. And of course, why do they refuse to accept it? Because there's been an actual propaganda to put that in everybody's mind.
Hold that thought, Jeff. We have a break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
John, are you there? Uh-oh. I guess we're back from the break. I guess I can talk. I'm Jeff Nyquist, and we do this thing every Wednesday morning. So while John is not here, I'll just give a little plug for my website, jrnyquist.blog. You there, John?
I'm here. Are we on back on the air?
Yeah, I just gave a little plug for my website.
Well, good. Yeah, I got distracted here. Well, I need to let everybody know the sale on the Liberator rocket heaters ends at midnight tonight, 25% off. That's a saving of $726 on the combination of the rocket heater and the pellet hopper. You can place your order at my website. You pay full price. I refund the sale price. My order takers will take your order also. They don't have a clue about the sale. Just place your order. I refund the sale price. And I'll take your order personally after the show's over at 314-965-3007. And our next caller looks like Jeff is John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello. I read in a book about surviving nuclear war, they say that it is not the long-term effects of nuclear war that are the most severe it is, the short-term effects of nuclear war that are the most egregious. In the long term, nuclear war, in fact, is survivable, and that it can be recovered from, and that you can survive it, and in fact, you can rebuild society afterwards.
Yeah, that's correct. Herman Kahn and the RAND Corporation did a study in 1960, and one of the most controversial parts of the study was, what if we had a war in 1976 with the projected size of the arsenals, which they knew then how both sides were going to build up their ICBM forces, in which every major urban area in the United States was destroyed, what would the prospects for recovery be? And the study concluded that within 5 or 6 years, the standard of living would return, minus certain luxury goods, provided that you practiced free market economics. And they made the point in the study that the cities are actually built up from the small towns in the countryside, that they're created out of them. And if you could make a weapon that could destroy the small towns in the countryside, the cities would die and there'd be no recovery. But because nuclear weapons, if they are aimed at cities, which is what they're best at doing, you would have this possibility to recover. So it was a fascinating study. It was so controversial that actually Herman Kahn left and took people with him, left the RAND Corporation and formed the Hudson Institute at the time. That's just one example, one study.
Okay, John, anything else?
Exactly what were, which was more, was there an accurate, there may have actually been an accurate sci-fi or dystopian novel actually written. It was called A Last Babylon. Did you ever read it?
No.
It was in the 1950s.
Yeah, I read the book. Yeah.
It was about surviving a nuclear war in Florida after, I think, what was it, the 1950s or the 60s?
It was in the 50s, I believe. Yeah.
All right. It was. There was a 90-minute. There was a 90-minute long TV show episode on Playhouse 90. And at the time, I think it starred William Shatner. And it was never made into a full-length movie like On the Beach, which is another novel. First of all, yeah. Where was the? Why did one get a full-length get on the big screen? The other one only got on the small screen.
Well, see, that's a good question, because On the Beach misrepresents what nuclear war would be. And somebody promoted that and put that in everybody's head, that a nuclear war would create this long-term fallout that would cover the planet and kill everybody and everything.
Right.
Yeah, and that's just not true.
It was done twice, Jeff. They made a more recent version in addition to the original.
Yeah. See, the Soviet disinformation not only uses newspapers, they use popular entertainment. And you go to Mike Pachepa's book on disinformation. Mike Pachepa knew a lot of the operations because he had participated in them. One operation was to discredit the Pope, Pope Pius the 11th, I think, Pope during World War II, to claim he was Hitler's Pope. And they couldn't actually come up with any kind of factual narrative, so they wrote a play. A German guy wrote a play that became popular, that promoted this idea. In actuality, of course, the Pope was combating Hitler and was saving Jews during the war. But this libel, because it was presented in the form of a drama, it really spread everywhere. In fact, I've met Americans somehow who believe this. So it is a very effective thing to create a fictional story that the people see, and if you back it up with other things, with other modes of information and people saying things, you end up with creating this impression. It was so strong in me, I had tremendous resistance to the books I was reading back in the late 1980s when I was doing my research, and I was just astonished. I said, well, these effects are survivable. I mean, one study, for example, was done by the Australians in 1980, as I recall the year they did it, and it was like, what, you know, talking about on the beach, they wanted to know, well, would this effect happen? And a full-blown hydrogen bomb war in the 1980s, when there were tens of thousands of weapons would be detonated in the northern hemisphere, Australia found that, yeah, from the long-term fallout, there'd be some more bone cancers and leukemias, whatnot. But the cancer rate in Australia overall would go down after a nuclear war, not up, because the import of tobacco from the U.S. would be cut off. So I'm kind of, you know, giving you the shocking conclusion of the study. It is not what it was represented in that movie. And so if you actually go to the science studies, to the science, and nuclear winter is another one. I remember the government finally spent a lot of money to study this nuclear winter problem. And the punchline at the end of the study was, well, to create the nuclear winter effect, you would have to create a nuclear weapon the size of the Empire State Building. It would cost more than the gross domestic product of all the nations of the world put together. There's not enough uranium on the Earth to build it. You'd have to go to the moon, mine it, and bring it back. And then you could blow a hole in the Earth's crust big enough to cause a nuclear winter effect. See, these are the kind of studies I read when I was down there. I'm just giving you sort of there's a lot of math and there's a lot of science in these studies, but there's the punchlines. It's not the end of the world. Sorry, but it's very convenient if the people in Moscow and Beijing get us to think that, oh, gee, you know, 20 nuclear weapons are going to end the world. We can't have a nuclear war. And so they're building thousands of them, and we're letting our nuclear arsenal rot, which is really what has happened since the end of the Cold War. And that puts us in a very dangerous position where the most effective weapon, which is a hydrogen bomb, we don't have enough of them, and they can beat us when they could not normally beat us in a war, because they're conventional weapons. Their way of waging war, being a autocratic systems, are just inadequate.
All right. I think we covered that very thoroughly. John, thank you for your call. Looks like we missed our break, Jeff. I need to remind people one more time that the Liberated Rocket Heater sale ends tonight at midnight. If you want to participate and save $726 on a heater and a pellet hopper, get your order in before midnight tonight. You want to mail me a check reminder, make sure it's postmarked before midnight tonight. Our next caller is Charlie in Florida. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Jeff. Jeff, I just wanted to ask you what you think about the elections over in Taiwan and kind of get your take on all that, the just recent elections.
Well, it's pretty dismaying that the party that wants Taiwan to be free and is most independent of China basically lost. I think there were 22. I think there were 22 offices. This was like a local elections up for, and the KMT, the party that's closest to the Chinese Communist Party today, won quite a few of those elections. And what does this mean? Provided their elections are free and fair like ours, right? It means that the Taiwan voter doesn't want war and might be willing to push their politicians to some kind of accommodation. It's kind of hard for me to believe that, but you know, we'll wait and see what happens. I mean, the president of Taiwan, she resigned as head of her party because of the failure. I mean, she's still the president. So I don't know enough about Taiwanese politics to understand it. And I haven't seen nobody's really said a lot about it, the commentators that I follow yet. But it makes me nervous that the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, is starting to have this effect on public opinion in Taiwan. You know, obviously you're in Taiwan. You don't know whether you're going to be defended by the U.S. Maybe the Chinese propaganda in Taiwan has basically won some people over. I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of my take on it. I think there's a lot having to do maybe perhaps with the Ukraine war. I hear that anyway from some of the commentators and stuff that the Taiwanese don't want their country, they don't want to be armed by the United States is my take on it, because they don't want a war between China and Taiwan to occur. I guess they're thinking that it has something, it might be, you know, they're looking at parallels with what's going on with Russia and Ukraine and the United States over there. I don't know, but I do know that they've taken a stance that is more towards being friendly and communication and everything with China, and that they're that this is going to, I think this is going, actually, I think it's going to be a trend for the future too. That I kind of follow their politics a little bit, and it seems like this is a growing movement over there. So I expect more. That's this is going to that probably in the future they probably will, you know, have a lot more communications with China than they will with us. I don't know.
Well, they always. I mean, Taiwan, since the opening of China, Taiwan has extensive economic ties with mainland China. And this is one of the problems, is that the country has become economically tied to China in a way that a kind of economic blackmail can take place. And Chinese propaganda that China is one is combined with the threat of war. And the Taiwanese people, they have no treaty with the United States. In fact, the United States is not obligated to defend Taiwan if it's attacked. Taiwan is not an ally of the United States. We have done some things to help to arm them. But Taiwan could be really on its own. The country that really wants to defend Taiwan is Japan. And this [S2] Right. [S1] Is why so much pressure from Russia and China have been placed on Japan. So much so, I don't know if you saw the recent article that came out based on the FSB papers coming out of Russia into France, that Putin was planning a war with Japan before he attacked the Ukraine. But the Ukraine situation was such that they decided in Moscow to attack Ukraine first. But Japan is high on the list of countries to be attacked. And for Russia attacking Japan, you can bring Russia and China and North Korea together in one theater, and it's really quite overwhelming. Japan may be the biggest obstacle to Russia and China militarily, because Japan is rapidly rearming. And you notice that Shinzo Abe was assassinated here last summer. He was the most effective politician for making Japan stronger, for opposing communist China. And it backfired. If they were behind his assassination, it certainly backfired, because his party won in the elections in Japan after his assassination. But always the Chinese use this combination of carrot and stick to get people to do what they want, the Chinese communists. And so the fact that the U.S. seems so wobbly as support for Taiwan, I'm sure there's a large opinion, especially among the business class in Taiwan. The KMT, now Taiwan, it isn't true, the ruling party currently, if they stay in power, has been anti-CCP and wants to cut a lot of the economic ties. The KMT, the old Kuomintang, is really the pro-CCP party, ironically, in Taiwan, because the KMT was the party of General Chiang Kai-shek, who fought the civil war against Mao and the communists. So ironically, they sent the delegation, well, you know this, to Beijing to say how they wanted, you know, things to be peaceful between them. And if China optimally could get its way, it could peacefully unite Taiwan to the mainland, Taiwan would go through a process like Hong Kong has gone through, where they start out being free and they end up just being, you know, the people arrested and disappeared, and the and it's just brought into the into China. But now that China's erupting into unrest, it'll be interesting what the effect on Taiwan opinion will be.
Yeah, actually, I think from what I've heard that the Taiwanese people are actually that's even making them want to get closer to China. The unrest over there, as strange as that sounds.
Well, you got to remember,
I can't understand their Oriental mind anyway. You know, I don't understand how they think.
You have to remember that. Okay, so Taiwan is not all. You know, the Chinese in Taiwan are Chinese. The Taiwanese are not
right.
Chinese. The Taiwanese are. Are, you know, what do they call the Micronesians or whatever?
Right, right, yeah.
And so they have this love for Japan, where a lot of countries that Japan ruled over in the last century hated the Japanese, like the Koreans. They actually loved them, and so they have this feeling for Japan. Whereas the ethnic Chinese in Taiwan, they're Chinese and they would like to be part of China. But they don't like the,
right.
They don't necessarily like the totalitarian rule. So wanting to be Chinese and finding the communist government problematic, if they think the communist government's going to fall or be reformed and become genuinely liberal, they would go for it in a hot minute, right? So,
yeah.
You know, and I've even heard Chinese dissidents say, well, if there's a war between America and China, we have to be on the side of China because we're Chinese. You know, it's like a racial thing.
Right. Right.
And then there are Chinese who say, oh, no, China has to be like America. And Chinese who really understand America and understand freedom understand that America doesn't – we're not against the Chinese. We're not – you know, this claim that Americans are racist, you know, because those people are Chinese. Actually, even Communist Party officials have admitted that America has always been a good friend to China. You know, we helped them in World War II. And we opened them up. We helped modernize China, you know. And so, except for the period of the Korean War, our military fought the Chinese military, except for that, we've done pretty good things for China over the last century plus, ever since the Republic of China formed under Sun Yat-sen. So, you know, it's a complicated history.
Yeah, well, the majority of, I think, the people in Taiwan consider themselves ethnically Chinese, and a lot of them have relationships still in China, and I think they want to maintain those. So I don't know. It's a very interesting situation, what's going on. I was wondering if the Biden fiasco Pelosi flying in there to Taiwan, if that might have had something to change some of these people's minds and get them upset or whatever.
Well, but, it was very scary, remember, because people didn't know whether that a war would erupt over her traveling there. And this is, you know, look, you're on an island. Think about it. Look on a map. Look at how small Taiwan is and how big China is and how close Taiwan is to China. Now look at where the nearest U.S. military bases are, where Japanese bases are, and you go, oh dear, Taiwan is much closer to China in its military bases than it is to any help, even if help was coming. And, you know, when you talk to military people about a war over Taiwan, and there's GMT Games, it's a simulation game company, they've made a very serious simulation of a war of China invading Taiwan. It's called Next War Taiwan, I believe is the game's title. And it's been played in the Pentagon. And I think there's a video online of them playing it. And the Chinese, and they're playing it, the Chinese won the invasion. So it's very, you know, it's hard to calculate these things. I think what we've learned since the Ukraine war is that, you know, my takeaway is that China, I don't think a Chinese invasion of Taiwan would succeed. That what we've seen, because the Chinese military is structured similarly to the Russian, and those deficits that caused the Russian failings in Ukraine would manifest in a war in Taiwan. So, you know, simulation games are made on assumptions. War games are made on assumptions, and they're not always true. And because we don't want to underestimate an enemy, maybe we're too generous in making that simulation. The Chinese understand politics and the manipulation of consciousness maybe better than they understand conventional warfare.
Maybe that's what they're doing. Is they may be having, you know, pushing a lot of this politics over there in Taiwan to go for a peaceful settlement between the two nations.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. They would. Yeah. Yeah. And there was been, you know, Li Mengyan, who has her own show. I was interviewed on it the other day. Mr. Wang of Luda Media have talked a lot about this propaganda in Taiwan and how effective it would be, and really the intimidation, saying, well, we control a lot of your, you don't understand, we control a lot of your politicians, we control the military. I think one of the big shocks was that the thought that many of the upper officers in the Taiwanese military are members of the KMT, which is more pro-China. And I think that realization scared a lot of people in Taiwan. Wait a minute, is our military going to be loyal? Are they going to really fight? You know, and the Chinese made a lot of this by claiming that there was even this talk, you may be heard, about a coup against the government by the military, the KMT people in the military in Taiwan. And
a little bit about it.
Yeah. And so it's like, wow, really? And talking about, you know, the Air Force, the Taiwanese Air Force just defecting and flying aircraft
right.
into China and leaving with their aircraft, you know, that didn't happen. But this is the kind of, they want to make people doubt that they're defended and that their leaders are honest. They're doing the same thing with us. This thing about the Chinese don't mind that Biden, you know, that the laptop, Hunter Biden laptop got out, or the Biden's exposed. They don't mind that because that makes us then doubt our leaders as much as it exposes what they've done in our system. And look at how helpless we are. We can't. Nobody will impeach Mr. Biden for the corruption that's found on that laptop. It's only recently is the press starting to take notice of it, and it's been around for years now. So,
well,
just think
of it. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Okay, Charlie, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. The call number is 512-248-8252. Chinese Communist naval presence around Taiwan continues as it has for several months.
Yes. Yeah. yeah, it seems that the militarily, the Chinese have lost some of their confidence in their ability to do an attack. But the pressure that they've created, as Charlie was just, showing, has had a political effect on Taiwan. So that these recent elections, you know, it's like, wow, the people of Taiwan are kind of ready to make concessions, ready to elect politicians who want to make concessions to the CCP. And of course, if you make certain concessions, you're going to be absorbed
right.
by China.
Right. Yeah. Well, we've been here, tomorrow's the 1st of December. The timetable was moved up from the 1st of November to an unknown date in December. Is that still accurate, sir?
Well, it's iffy. It's possible that something can be done in December. But of course, again, that could be just a way of maintaining the threat and applying pressure. Will China actually do something? You know, will they actually do something? You know, we'll have to see. So far, everything's been a bluff. Their mobilizations and everything, and I don't think, given the potential paralysis of their country from the unrest, I don't think China can be regarded as a serious threat while its people are in the streets shouting down with the CCP. It's not according to the book. Right?
Right.
To start a war when your own people are not happy with the government, because you have to have the unity of your country before going to war, where the people in your
right.
country.
Right. Without the unity, yeah.
You can't.
Be basically fighting two wars, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, you would fall apart. And, every time a government has had this, You know, the Russians in 1917 continued fighting the war after the February Revolution, but they were so unstable that the Bolshevik coup of October took them down and made peace with Russia. So it, and their fighting formations were not effective. The Germans were just able to roll over them in that part of the war when Russia was inwardly convulsed and the Tsar abdicated. The Germans were advancing. And so, you know, it's just not, they're not going to start a war under the present circumstances.
All right, we'll have our summary after the break. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Well, Jeff, we're moving towards the end of this year, and all these issues continue to move forward. We have genuine communists in the Oval Office and as vice president in key positions. A lot of discussion about where the true loyalties of General Milley are, for example. We have work cut out for us, don't we, sir?
Well, the real problems we have now, it seems, with China and Russia not being able to threaten us the way that they were moving towards doing. The real problem now is the penetration of the U.S. government by communists and by people who are bought by foreign interests. That's in the corruption that follows on its heels, the penetration of the cartels, who are aligned, by the way, those Mexican cartels are aligned with China and Russia.
Really?
And it's in the LA Times has actually said that the Mexican mafia is in alliance with the Russian mafia. And that is pretty well known by people who understand those organizations and how Mexico is penetrated by both Russia and China. You know, you go down to Mexico. I had a friend who had to flee Brazil because the communists wanted to kill him there, and he was staying in Mexico. And I called him on the phone to see how he was doing. He was in Mexico waiting for his visa, his American visa. And he said, "Jeff, there are Chinese all over here. I can't believe this. You know, I don't want to reveal what part of Mexico he traveled through, but so the Chinese have gotten throughout Latin America. They've gotten major toeholds. They're building a super port in Peru, for example, where a communist has been elected president. Lula da Silva is really a Marxist, whatever he pretends otherwise. Argentina has been taken over. You have the election in Chile of a far leftist, and in Colombia, the general pattern is a march to the left and a movement towards what the Sao Paulo Forum wanted to do, was to form a communist bloc out of Latin America. And, you know, this is just one aspect of the problem. But in Mexico, with the cartels and then the trans-border traffic, the corruption, potential of corruption of the border states. And, you know, you had Dave Hodges on yesterday talking about the corruption in Arizona and the interconnections there. You know, the drug trade is connected to the communist effort to overthrow the United States, because organized crime presents an intelligence service with information on corruption in politics for blackmailing or controlling politicians or bribing them. And laundering money through banks presents an opening to get control of financial institutions. So people have to be a little careful about saying it's capitalism is the enemy, when our own capitalist system has been infiltrated by foreign intelligence services using money laundering and organized crime to corrupt banking officials and financial elites, as well as corrupting industrial elites by luring them into China.
Well said, Jeff. Well said. Appreciate having you back next week. That's it for the day. Get your medical supplies, your energy, cleaning, your essential oils now while you can. Your firearms, ammunition, never ever get your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless my large, beautiful state of Missouri, the even larger, beautiful state of Texas. And please, Lord, God bless it.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Yeah. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.